they wanted to make sure they produced those teachers for the schools, huh? You know, when I have this interview transcribed, what I can do is I'll produce a draft copy for you and have you read through it if you like. And
eliminate all the extraneous stuff.
Those things. I've made notes of some sections where you say this shouldn't be recorded, so we can go ahead and we can take those out.
Yeah.
That'll make you happier. Because you know, the whole idea of doing these oral history interviews is to gather the information for the students to use. And they can't use a raw tape, and they can't use it. They can't use anything unless both you and I sign a release form saying that it's okay for them to use it. And I understand you probably wouldn't want to sign it until I give you that notice.
Well,
that
probably,
I probably
have not libeled anybody particularly, maybe a couple.
But it's no. All in the name of education, isn't it?
Yeah. Did you ever see one of those books that, well, it was put out by a son of a friend of mine, PEO sister friend of my mother's, that raided the faculty? He put it out for 2 years.
I'm thinking of Faces.
Oh, no. No, this is way long ago. I've got one downstairs somewhere in the garage, along with all sorts of other things. Mm-hmm. I shudder to think that my godchildren are going to go through when I'm made the executors of my estate. I kick off. Oh, they'll die. But I was called a cynical preacher.
Who called you that?
They had little blurbs about everybody. That they, see, they
oh, gave the out, evaluation
they thing. Gave out these sheets for evaluation. And that's what they, and my mother's friend was so chagrined. She said, "Ronald, don't you know that that was my friend and PEO sister, oh, daughter?" The rating was pretty good, but the comment was not flattering.
Oh, well.
Oh, I thought it was funny.
You got their attention, huh?
Well, got mine anyway, I don't know.
Well, I don't know if you have covered everything that I wanted to ask you, except maybe a few little things. And one of them is that you received a lot of awards and honors over the years. You received, academic faculty teaching award of the year.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm kind of stumbling over all this stuff.
I forgot what that was called.
You had several.
And I'm in Who's Who of American Women and Who's Who in American Authors.
Uh-huh.
And I have an award. It's that little Lucite thing over there. I've forgotten what it was for. And now it's 2,000 Women of Extinction, I was going to say. That's about right. Distinction.
Do you have anything to say about those teaching awards?
I was just surprised. It was all of $395, I think.
That was somewhere between 69 and 72, I think, that you got the awards that I'm thinking of.
Yeah, it was about then that I got money and Joanne got one the next year or two and received a dictionary, which was just a scream because neither she nor I were the world's best spellers, and she said she never could find anything because she never learned the alphabet, which of course is not true, but it makes a good story.
It's a good exaggeration, isn't it? It's kind of embarrassing when you're such a bad speller that you can't even find the word misspelled. I mean, you can't even find it.
Oh, I'm almost that. I'm almost that bad. I can try it three or four ways. But, and that's what's so funny. And I have professed vehemently that I can't spell, so that Muriel and Lucille proofread the postscript, and I don't have to be burdened with having that fall on my shoulders.
You have to have somebody else do it anyway.
Yeah.
You have to have several different sets of eyes look at your writing.
When Olive and I proofread all of those books, earnestly, she'd read for a while and I'd read for a while.
Oh, yeah.
She'd read and...
Back and forth. Make sure you haven't left out sentences and paragraphs and it flows.
Dotted the right I's and not the E's.
Yep, that's right.
But it was fun officing with Joanne. We always decided to change the office on those hot days before school began.
Change the office as
well. Oh, you know, rearrange the furniture.
Oh, really?
As best as we could.
Not easy to do, probably, and not a very big office, huh?
No, it was about as big as here. Maybe it was a little longer and a little narrower, yeah, but about this much space in here. And it was kind of fun. And judging all of those Charm magazine hoopadillies that they had for college seniors.
Charm magazine?
College women. It was a gun, 10 Breast Dressed, it was called. And I got a call from New York in my office. And she said, I'm calling from Nonymore. Oh, could your little school gather up some women students to be contestants in the 10 Best Dressed Girls competition? And also, do you have any hotels in San Diego?
Well, what do you think this is?
This is New York talking to
right.
Hicksville. And I said, I'm quite sure that I'll be... Well, are you able? Says she.
Yeah.
No, one of the little gophers.
No, I don't think I am. Goodbye.
And so I did. And I put them in... Not the town and country, but the one across the street, which at that time was a place of assignations, as I understood later.
Oh, really?
Anyhow, and I met Nonnie Moore, and she was absolutely charming.
Oh.
And Eric, the photographer. But they were totally surprised. I had 400, between 400 and 500 girls from our little school.
Wow. You really got the
mouth dropped. You know, here we're all in the, they judge them in that home economic hospitality center.
Yeah.
And they were just floored.
Well, that's great. And what happened? What came of that?
Well, they picked 10 girls, and I then took them to various sundry places around town where they could photograph. But they settled on that little quad that was off of what was the Campus Lab School.
Yeah.
You mean the banana quad?
Uh-huh. Or the banana courtyard or whatever it's called, yeah.
Well, it was called the Campus Lab patio or something. But anyhow, they got into it was Charm magazine. I guess they don't publish Charm anymore.
I don't think so.
That was... And they don't have any of the competitions anymore, like the Prix de Paris, because Jacqueline Bouvier won a couple of years after Odd, and she couldn't be bought.
Oh, really?
And so Mary just said, that's the end of that. We won't have it.
Uh-huh.
Which was too bad, because it was a great introduction to a totally different world.
Yeah.
I mean, where else are you treated to luncheon at the St. Regis Roof, and dinner at the Cosmopolitan Club, and dinner at the Smith Club in the New West.
So it was because of her turning it down that, that they decided to forget
that.
It. Mm-hmm. Now, the only reason why I know what you're talking about is because I did a little bit of reading in our Kennedy collection about her.
Oh. Money grubbing.
Well.
Poor soul has cancer, I guess.
That's what I read. Well, now, you are working on, or just finished working on, an issue of Postscripts where you were writing about colleagues remembered. Is that so?
It's in the works. It's at the printers as of today.
Well, I guess I won't get into too much detail then about those people and ask you for critiques about those individuals, but were there any people outside of the art department that had a big influence on you at San Diego State?
Oh, let's see. There's one, Chrissy Springsteen, and there's Nelson Norman did one on the history department and mention Nassiter and Katie Reagan and stuff like that. And Andy Olson did one on the natural sciences department, yeah, mentioning several people there, including Bob Harwood.
Uh-huh.
And Joanne did one on Ilse. And John Gerst did one on...
That's right.
On Everett. And somebody else... Oh, Peg Gilbert did sort of an overview, being on the staff, not on the faculty, so she had an entirely different perspective.
Right.
And Ross did one on, the one on Chrissy Springsteen.
We've got all kinds of good information coming up. Oh, well, that's great.
Yes.
That's wonderful.
I have wonderful, you know, I'm on the phone and, you know, you're supposed to.
Yeah.
And we put in the activities that have occurred since the last publication, like the Christmas party and a trip down Borrego and the trek up to the Rose Parade and the Crystal Cathedral,
right,
and that sort of thing, and have pictures from those, and announcements of what's coming next, and then what's in the next issue, which is going to be a potpourri again. We did, this is potpourri 2, we did potpourri 1, where it's sort of no special title.
I can't wait to see it. This next issue sounds pretty exciting.
I have got pictures of John Adams and from you.
Yeah, all don't forget to go back, okay?
I should say. I won't. I think. Let's see.
No, don't lose track of those.
No, I've got them here, some of them here, but not the... No, I don't have any of them here because they're all being used.
Okay.
But I got to thinking you gave me two of Adams, and then I remember I only took one, the big one, which will have to be reduced. And then I usually do a cartoon of some sort.
I should have taken a look at one of them before I came here, so I would know. I probably have seen your cartoons.
I just happen to have one here.
You do. Okay. It's time for me to get up and
don't
stretch
you like
my legs.
My mother would have a fit what I've done to her. Thank you. The old lady has dropsy. This is the last one. Pupils and pets.
Oh, yeah.
And all the little drawings in here I did, too.
This is one issue I didn't read. I was in a real big rush. Did you put all this together?
Sure, I do the layout, yes.
That's wonderful. Good job. Very nice.
I speck it by eye. I don't count characters. That's too laborious.
Yeah, really. You know, let somebody at the typesetters do that, or at the printers or whatever they call it now. I don't even know what they call it nowadays.
I don't either.
Well,
you know, it doesn't take long. You're out of touch when things change.
I'm not going to ask you any other questions. Like I say, a couple of little loose ends were left, but I don't think we really need to go over those. I would like to take a look at your costume book, your fashion
book. It's over there on the